Today's shiur will be Mesichtes Vachim, Daf Tzadik Beis, from the beginning of the 11th Perek. And here the Mishnah is going to discuss a din that is mentioned in Parashat Tzav, Kapitel Vov Posek Chov, concerning a Korban Chatos. There, from the beginning of Posek Yudzayin, it speaks about the Korban Chatos. And the Posek says, first it says, Zois Torah HaChatos, this is the Torah, the laws of a Chatos, and it goes on saying, that in the same place where you shecht an oilo, which is on top side, you must shecht the chatos. And then the next posik, which is posik Yitzhak, says, HaKoyen HaMachate Oiso Yechlenu, the Koyen that makes this chatos, he should eat it. The Mokem Kodesh Teyochel, Vachatar Oil Moyed, in a holy place it should be eaten, in the yard of the Oil Moyed. Then the next posik, which is posik Chof, says, Koyla Sheyiga Besora Yigdosh, anything that will touch its meat should become holy. That whatever will be sprinkled from its blood on a garment, which will be sprinkled on it, should be washed in a holy place. So from this pasuk we see that if the blood of the korban chatas is sprinkled on a garment, that garment must be washed the mokim kodesh. So the Mishnah here says, dam chatos shenitas al habeged, if the blood of the chatas was sprinkled on a garment, so that has to be washed, as the pasuk here says, the chabez, the mokim kodesh. And the Mishnah continues, that even though this pasuk, this parsha, is speaking about those chatoes that are eaten, because the pasuk says before that, the mokim kodesh teyochel, that you should eat this chatoes in the holy place, obviously this whole parsha is talking about those chatoes that are eaten, and not all chatois are eaten, because there are chatois hapnimiyas which are not eaten. There are chatois that you must take the blood inside the heichal to sprinkle. Most chatois you sprinkle the blood in the azore and the outer mizbeach. Those chatois are eaten. But those chatois that you have to take the blood inside the heichal to sprinkle it there, which are called the chatois hapnimiyas, they are not eaten. They are burnt outside the machmir. So from this parsha, since it is talking about the chatois which are eaten, and that's what the pasuk says, that if the blood falls on the garment, it must be washed. So it's mashmeh that only by chatois that are eaten, the din is that if the blood falls on the garment, it must be washed. But chatois hapnimiyas, the din would be different. And the Mishnah says no, that even though the pasuk is talking by those which are eaten, nevertheless, echot hanecholois, the same din is those that are eaten, the echot hapnimiyas, and also those chatois which are taken inside, the unais kibus, also must be washed. All chatois, that if its blood is sprinkled on a baguette, must be washed. Shenema, because the postik says, Toiras HaChatos, right in the beginning of the parsha. As we said before, it starts off with the words, Zois Toiras HaChatos, teaches us, Toira Achas L'chol HaChatois. One Toira, which means one din for all the chatois. And therefore, even a chatos which is not included in this parsha, because it's a chatos which is not eaten, nevertheless, this din, that if the blood is sprinkled on a garment, it must be washed, applies also to those chatois. Then the Mishnah continues, chatos psulo, if it was blood from a chatos which was posel, ein domo ton kibus, so its blood does not have to be washed, because the posik says, asher yize oleo. It says, va'asher yize midomo al habeget, asher yize oleo. What does that mean? That if it will be sprinkled from its blood on a garment, which will be sprinkled on it, you have to wash. Now what does that mean? The Torah is telling us that only blood that was fit to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, if that blood falls on the garment, then you have to wash the garment. This is what the pasuk is saying. And if its blood will be sprinkled on the garment, but which kind of blood? A type of blood that could have been sprinkled on the mizbeach. But if it was blood from a korban that was posel, so that blood was not allowed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach anyway, so if that blood falls on a baguette, you don't have to wash the baguette. And the Mishnah says, Bein shehoyse l'shasa kosher, or bein sheloy hoyse l'shasa kosher. And this din applies whether it had a time when it was fit, or it didn't have a time when it was fit. In other words, this din that we said, that if the blood is not fit to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, then you don't have to wash the garment from that blood, it makes no difference whether this blood at one point was fit to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, and later something happened to it and it became possible, or lechatchila it was not fit to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. In both cases, the din is that if it falls on the garment does not have to be washed. And the Mishnah explains, Eizu Hisha Hoysel Lashasa Kosher, what would be considered blood that had a time when it was fit to be sprinkled? That is, Shalona. And the reason the blood is not fit now is because it stayed overnight. Blood that stays overnight cannot be sprinkled anymore. So Lachatchila, when it came from the behemoth, from the korban, it was fit to be sprinkled, because the korban was kosher, so the blood was kosher to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The reason it's possible now is because it stayed overnight. So that is an example of blood that cannot be sprinkled, but nevertheless it had a shasa kosher, or vishenitma, or blood that became tamei. So also, lechatchila, it was fit to be sprinkled, but it became tamei, you can't sprinkle it now. Or vishayotis, or blood that went out of the mechitza. It went out of the boundaries where it was supposed to be. So it becomes fossil. So this is also an example of having a shasa kosher, because before this happened, it was kosher, fit to be sprinkled, and now it became fossil. What would be an example of blood that did not have a time when it was fit to be sprinkled? If they shechted the animal, and at the time when they shechted it, the shechet had in mind to eat the korban or to sprinkle its blood outside of its time, not in its right time, or outside of its place. And the din is, if you have that intention, so if you have intention to do it outside of its time, it becomes figel. If you have intention to do it outside of this place, it becomes possible. But in both cases, it never was fit, because the time when he shechted it, when the blood started coming out of the animal, it came out already when the animal was possible. Because at the time of the shechita, he had these wrong intentions. So this is an example of it not having a time when it was fit to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And another example, a shekiblu psulin asdama. If a possible, a person who was unfit to do the Avodah, he received the blood. Receiving the blood is an Avodah, so therefore it could only be received by a kosher Kohen. If it was received by a non-kosher Kohen, this is also considered that it never had a shasa kosher, because the time when it came out, when it was received with the posel, so automatically it became posel. But concerning this last line of the Mishnah, there was another girsa. Where we read it, it says that the last example of the blood not having a shasa kosher was the shekiblu psulin asdama, that if psulin, unfit people, receive the blood. But there's another girsa here, that in addition to this example, there's another example that if an unfit person sprinkled his blood, and then the rest of the blood fell on a beged, so then the beged does not have to be washed. So Rashi says that we cannot have that girsa. That girsa is not true. Why? Because later on the Gemara says that bichlal, after the blood was sprinkled already, so then if the blood falls on a garment, it doesn't have to be washed. So even if it was done bekashrus, if everything was done properly, still the blood that fell on the garment after the zrikas adam, after the blood was sprinkled, that blood doesn't have to be washed out of the beged. So how can we say here that an example where you don't have to wash it is when it was sprinkled through a posel? If it was sprinkled already, then even if it was sprinkled through a kosher and everything was properly done, it also doesn't have to be washed. So therefore, Rashi says that we have to take out the word vizorkei, and the only example given here at the end is if a posel received the blood. But obviously, Tosfos had another girsa in Rashi, because Tosfos quotes from Rashi that Rashi does hold of this girsa. And Tosfos says that Rashi writes that you should be guided the word vizorkei. And he writes that Rashi answers the question. The question is, how can we say that the example given here is if the blood was sprinkled by a posel, when really, even if it was sprinkled by a kosher, and then it fell on the garment, you don't have to wash it. Tosfos said in the name of Rashi that nevertheless, the Mishnah has to tell us this. Because we could have thought that the din is that if a posel sprinkles the blood, it doesn't make the korban posel. Maybe the din is that you take the rest of the blood and let a kosher sprinkle it. Let disregard the sprinkling of the posel and let a kosher sprinkle it, and then it still would be kosher. And if that would be true, then, after the posel sprinkled the blood, and some of the blood later on fell on the garment, it still would have to be washed, because we would consider it as if it fell on the garment before the sprinkling. Because if the din would be that if a posel sprinkles, so then later on a kosher has to sprinkle again, and that is valid, then the first sprinkling doesn't count. The real sprinkling will be the second time. So if it falls on a garment after the first sprinkling of the posel, before the second sprinkling of the kosher, then this would be a din that you have to wash it, because it fell on the garment before the hazah. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that if it was sprinkled by a posel and then it fell on the garment, you don't have to wash the garment. Why? Because we hold that you cannot disregard that sprinkling, and you cannot say, let later on a kosher take other blood from this korban and sprinkle it. But we hold that the blood already that was sprinkled by a posel makes the whole korban posel. And since it makes the whole korban posel, so now when it falls on the garment, we do consider that it fell after the zrikah. And that's why you don't have to wash it. But nevertheless, it's a chidush of the Mishnah, because if not for the Mishnah, we would have thought that if it was sprinkled by a posel and then it fell on the garment, you would have to wash it. That's the way Tosfos quotes from Rashi. So obviously, Tosfos had a different gears than Rashi, because the way we have the Rashi, Rashi says clearly that you do not have the gears of the Zorkoi, and Rashi says the reason is because of this question, and Rashi doesn't give the answer. Now we learn the Gemara. The Gemara says, Dam chatos shenitos chulu. Then the Mishnah, that if blood of a chatos was sprinkled on the beged, then you have to wash the beged. And the Mishnah continued, that even though the Pasuk is only speaking about those chatois that are eaten, nevertheless, this din applies also to the chatois apnimiyis. And the reason is because the parasha starts off with the word Zois Torah Sachatos, which teaches us that Torah achas l'chol ha-chatois. There is one din for all the chatois, and therefore, this din also applies to the chatois apnimiyis. So the Gemara asks, the e Torah achas l'chol chatois, if we learn from here that there is one din to all the chatois, afilu chatos ha-ois namo, the din should also be by a chatos oiv. If blood of a bird, which was a chatos, was sprinkled on a beged, you should also have to wash it, because it's also a chatos. It should also be included in Zois Torah Sachatos. Alo motanya, why did we learn the braisa, yochol tehei dam chatos oiv toin kibuz? We would have thought that blood of a chatos oiv that fell on a beged, you should have to wash it. Talmud loime zois. The Pasuk says clearly Zois Torah Sachatos. What does the word zois mean? Only this. Only those that are mentioned in that parasha, but no other chatos. So from there we know that chatos oif is excluded. But the question is why? Why don't we say that the word toiras chatos, which includes all the chatos, also includes the chatos oif, just like we say it includes the chatos apnimius? And on the other hand, if we're going to say that the zois comes to exclude all other chatois that are not mentioned in this parsha, we should also exclude the chatois apnimius, which are also not mentioned in this parsha. Omar Ishlokish Mishum Bakapore. So Ishlokish answered in the name of Bakapore. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says here, Tishochet. After the word zois toiras achatos, the Pasuk says, Imkoim asher tishochet ha'oilo, tishochet achatos. That the first din that the parasha tells us is that in the place that you shech the oiler, which is tough inside of the mizbeach, that's where you shech the chatos. So we see clearly the nishchotos hakosef medaber, and the pasuk is only speaking about those korbanos chatos which have shchite. So it automatically excludes a chatos oiv, because by a bird we know there is no shchite, but there is melike. So therefore, it is not included in this din. But the Gemara asks, let us also say that the Pasuk is only speaking concerning those chatois that are eaten. Kedeksiv, like the Pasuk says, b'mokem kodesh le'ochel, in a holy place it should be eaten. Avo pnimius loy, but those chatois apnimius which are not eaten should not be included. Just like we said, that since the Pasuk mentions shchita here, so automatically it comes to exclude chatos oiv, which is not geshochten, so too this Pasuk, which mentions achile, should exclude those chatois which are not eaten. The Gemara says, but we can't exclude the chatois apnimius because Rabbi Rachman is toiras. And the Torah adds the word toiras, which, as we said before, comes to include all the chatois. Since it says toiras achatos, so toiras achas lechol achatois, it comes to include all the chatois. So the word toiras itself tells us that also the chatois that are not mentioned here are included. So therefore, even the chatois apnimius which are not eaten are also included. But then the Gemara asks, if so, why don't you include chatas oif also? Just like we said, that even though the Pasuk, the Mokim Kodesh Teochel, seems to indicate that chatas apnimius are not included, nevertheless, the word Torah teaches us that it is included. Why don't we say the same thing concerning chatas oif? And even though the Pasuk, the Shochet, seems to indicate that it excludes a chatas oif, but the word Torah, which includes all the chatas, should include that too. The Gemara answers, but miyut rachmona zois. But didn't we say before that the Torah says zois? Zois is a miyut, this and not others. So it comes to exclude the chatoi zois. But then the Gemara says, umarois. What makes you say so? We have two things here. We have a pasuk zois, which comes to exclude. We have Torah, which comes to include. So why do we say that the word Torah comes to include chatoi safnimiyis, and the word zois comes to exclude chatoi zois? Why don't we say the opposite? that the word Toiras comes to include Chatos Ois, and the word Zois comes to exclude Chatos Apnimius. The Gemara answers, Mistavre, the logic is, the Chatos Behem Apnimius Havelin Rebuya. That when we have a choice of saying that the Torah comes to include Chatos Apnimius, which is a behemoth, or comes to include a Chatos Ois, there is more logic to say that it comes to include a Chatos Behemoth, and automatically to exclude the Chatos Ois. And the reason is because, first of all, Shekein Behemoth Kamoisa, because this is a behemoth like the Chatos which is eaten, and also Ushchita Kamoisa. They both have Shchita. The Chatos Hanachelot, the one that you eat, have Shchita, and the Chatos Apnimius, you have to shech. Also, Shchita Sofen. They both have to be geshochten on the Sofen side of the Mizbeach. And also, the Kabbalah Sofen, that you receive the blood in both on the Sofen side. And also, Kele. In both cases, you have to receive the blood in the Kele. And also, the Keren. It has to be done by the Keren, by the horn of the Mizbeach. Also, the Etzbah has to be done with the finger. You sprinkle the blood with the finger. Also, the chudat has to be done by the corner of the Mizbeach. And also, the Ishim, there are parts that go to the Mizbeach that are burned. And these apply to both the Chatas which is eaten and the Chatas Apnim. While by a Chatas Ha'oif, none of these things apply. We know a Chatas Ha'oif is a bird, not a behemoth. A Chatas Ha'oif doesn't have Shchita, it has Malika. A Chatas Ha'oif doesn't have to be done by Tzofen. Also, there is no Kabbalah Saddam, no receiving of the blood by a Chatas Ha'oif. There is no din of a keren that you have to be do it by the keren, by the horn. Because a chatas ha'oif is done in the lower part of the mizbeach. The melech can be by the horn. Also, you don't use your finger to put the blood on the mizbeach. And it doesn't have to be by the chud, by the point of the mizbeach. And there are no parts of the chatas ha'oif that is put on the mizbeach. There is no ish in the mizbeach. So since the chatas apnimius is very close to the other chatas, while a chatas ha'oif is not that close, so therefore, when we have a choice whether to include a Chatas Apnimius or to include a Chatas Ha'oif, we rather include the Chatas Apnimius than the Chatas Ha'oif. But then the Gemara asks, Adarav, on the contrary, Chatas Ha'oif Havalei Rebuya, there's a reason that we should include Dafke Chatas Ha'oif. That is more similar to the Chatas mentioned here than the Chatas Apnimius. Shekein Chutz Kemoisa, because it's similar to this Chatas here, they're both done b'chutz, they're both done outside of the Heichal, while the Chatas Apnimius is done inside the Heichal. Also, V'achila Kemoisa. In both of these cases, you eat it. The Chatas mentioned here is a Chatas that's eaten, and the Chatas Ha'oif is eaten, while the Chatas Apnimius are not eaten. So, L'chura, the Chatas Ha'oif is more similar. And the Gemara answers, Hanoch Nefishin. These are more, which means the similarity between the Chatas Apnimius and the Chatas mentioned here is more, greater than the similarity between the Chatas Ha'oif and the Chatas mentioned here. And therefore, it is only logical to include the Chatas Apnimius and to exclude the Chatas Ha'oif. But Rabbi Yosef, says, he gives another reason how we know that we exclude Chatas Ha'oif from this parsha. Because the Pasuk says, O makro, yoichleno, it says that you should eat it. Said Hakoyin Hamachate Oiso Yoichleno should eat it. So we darshan lezu veloy lacheres to this one and not others. And ben necholos miyat akosif. The Torah is memayet excludes by those karbonos which are eaten. In other words, he's saying that the pasuk says Yoichleno you should eat it. He's telling us that this parsha is talking about this korban that is eaten, which means that there are other karbonos chatos which are also eaten, and nevertheless are excluded from the dinim that the Torah talks about here. What other chatas is there that is eaten and could be excluded from here? So that is chatas ha'oif. And that is the reason why we exclude chatas ha'oif, even though we don't exclude chatas apnimius, because chatas apnimius is not excluded. It's l'chatchila not a korban that's eaten. But here the Torah excludes, in the achila itself, yoichlen no, that something that is eaten is excluded. Only this one that is eaten will be included in this din, while another chatas which is also eaten is excluded. And that is chatas ha'oif. Here we see that the Torah excludes the Chatas Ha'oif from all the dinim that are mentioned in the parsha here. Which are the dinim mentioned in the parsha here? This din of kibbutz, that if the blood sprinkles on the beggar, you have to wash it. And also what it says later on, Uklei cheres asher tevushal b'yishoveh v'im b'klei necheshes v'sholah u'moirach v'shutah b'moyim, that the kelim that you use have to be rinsed and washed, etc. So the pasuk here with the word yichleno excludes Chatas Ha'oif from these dinim. And then the Gemara asks, Ve'elo, Zois, Lomali, if so, why do we need Zois? Before we said, how do we exclude Chatas Ha'oif? Because it says Zois, Toiras HaChatas. And the word Zois is a miut. But now that we say we exclude it from the word Yechlena, why do we have to have the word Zois? And the Gemara answers, I love Zois, if not for this word Zois, Hava, I mean, I would think, Yechlena Urche Dekro. That this is a normal Lashon expression of the Pasuk. The whole Parsha is written like that. The whole Parsha says, Tishochet Achatos Bipsoro Midomo. So why shouldn't it say Yechlena? He'll eat it. So we would think that the word Yechlena doesn't come to teach us anything. That's just a normal expression of the Pasuk. Therefore, Kamash Malone, we have the word Zois, that it comes to tell us that you have to exclude something. Now that the word Zois comes to tell us to exclude, but we still don't know what to exclude, because it's possible that we should rather exclude the Chatois Apnimiyas. But then when the Pasuk says Yechlena, so we know that we have to exclude something within the Chatois which are eaten. So from the combination of both, we know that we come to exclude the Chatois. Rabbi says, he comes to answer the question that we asked before, that maybe the Pasuk comes to exclude Chatois Apnimiyas. We say the Zois comes to exclude Chatois Oiv. But we ask, maybe it comes to exclude Chatois Apnimiyas. So he comes to answer that question, and he says, that is impossible. What he's going to say is that the whole Parsha is mainly speaking about Chatois Apnimiyas. So how can we say that we exclude Chatois Apnimiyas? How does he know that the Parsha is mainly talking about Chatois Apnimiyas? Because Omakro, the Pasuk says, Ashe Yizem. The Pasuk says there, Ashe Yizem, Idom ala Beget, Ashe Yizem aleo. That if it'll be sprinkled from its blood on a garment, which is sprinkled on it, which means that it's blood that should have been sprinkled. Now, Bahazoes, Hakosav Medabit. The Pasuk is speaking about such a korban that the Torah says you have to have Hazoes. And when we look into the Pesukim, we see that by the Chatoes, Hachitzoini is those Chatoes, which are not taken inside the Heichol, where you also have to sprinkle the blood, but the Torah does not use the word Hazor. The Torah uses the word Zrike. Only by the Chatoes Apnimiyas, the Torah uses the Loshon Yizeh or Hazor. And since the Pasuk here says, Ashe Yizeh Aleo, so the Torah is Lechatchila talking about such blood that should have had the Inyan of Hazor, not the Inyan of Zrike. And that is the Chatoes Apnimiyas. So Lechatchila, the Parsha is talking about the Chatoes Apnimiyas. So how can we even have a half a minute to say that we should exclude Chatoes Apnimiyas from this deen? But then the Gemara asks, but didn't we learn in our Mishnah that even though the Pasuk is only speaking about the Karbonos which are eaten, nevertheless the deen applies to the Chatoes Apnimiyas? In other words, the Tana of the Mishnah is saying that Be'emes, the Parsha, is speaking about the Chatoes which are eaten. So we might think that the deen only applies to those Chatoes. Nevertheless, the deen applies also to the Chatois Apnimiyas, as we learn now from the word Zois Toiras. But nevertheless, we see from here that the main parasha is speaking about Necholos. That's what the Tana says, that the parasha is speaking about the Chatois which are eaten. So he answers, Le'inyan Merikyo Shtife. Taka, concerning the other deenim of this parasha, which is the rinsing and the washing, that the kelim that it's cooked in has to be rinsed and washed, etc. There, Taka is speaking mainly about those that are eaten. But concerning this deen that you have to wash the garment, Asher Yizek, Steve, it says clearly Asher Yizek, which means that we're talking about the Chatoes Apnimiyas. But the Gemara asks, Ihoch, if so, Echad HaNecholos, VeEchad Apnimiyas, the Loshon in the Mishnah is that even though it is speaking about the Chatoes HaNecholos, nevertheless, whether it is a Chatos which is eaten or a Chatos which is a Chatos Apnimiyas, the deen is the same, that the garment has to be washed. Why does the Tanna first mention Chatos HaNecholos and then Chatos HaPnimiyas? Echad HaPnimiyas v'echad HaNecholos miboyalei. He should have first mentioned the Pnimiyas and then the Necholos. Now that you're saying that this deen of washing the garment is mainly speaking about the Chatos HaPnimiyas, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's speaking by Chatos HaNecholos also, so he should have said that even though the Parsha is speaking by the Chatos HaNecholos, that means the other part of the Parsha, nevertheless, this part of the Parsha, the deen of Kibbutz, applies to both. Not only to the Chatoes HaPnimiyas, but also to the Chatoes HaNecholos. That's what he should have said. According to this, that the main pasuk is speaking by the Chatoes HaPnimiyas. But the Gemara says, Tone, that's how we talk, you have to learn. We have to change around the words and write, Echad HaPnimiyas, Vechad HaNecholos. That the deen is by the Pnimiyas and also by the Necholos, because this deen of Kibbutz actually is speaking mainly by the Chatoes HaPnimiyas. And the Gemara says, Ihoche, if so, Chatoes HaOiv Nameh, this deen should also apply to Chatoes HaOiv. Since this expression of Hazor is written by the Chatos HaOiv also, and since we're saying that the Pasuk is mainly speaking by those Karbonos where the Torah uses the Lashon Hazor, so why shouldn't it include also the Chatos HaOiv? And the Gemara answers, Mi et Rachmona Zois. But didn't the Torah write the word Zois to exclude it? So from there we know to exclude it. But the Gemara asks, if so, Chitzoyna Name. So then, let's also exclude the Chatos HaChitzoynis, which means the Chatos which is eaten. Since the Pasuk is speaking about the Chatos HaPnimis, as we said, we want to include, in addition to what the Torah is talking about, the Chatos HaNochelos, the Chatos HaChitzoynis. But doesn't the Pasuk say Zois, which comes to exclude all other Chatos? Just like we said, we can't include the Chatos Zois, because the Torah says Zois, so we shouldn't be able to include the Chatos HaNochelos, the Chatos HaChitzoynis, also because it says Zois. The Gemara says, no, Dibar Achmona Torah. But on the other hand, the Torah said the word Torah, which comes to include. So we include the Chatos HaChitzoynis. But then the Gemara says, Marois, what is the reason? Why do you see it this way? Why do you say that the word Torah comes to include the Chatos HaChitzoynis, and the word Zois comes to exclude the Chatos Zois? Maybe just opposite. That the word Torah will include the Chatos Zois, and the word Zois will exclude the Chatos HaChitzoynis. The Gemara answers, Mistaber, the logic is that Chatos Behema Havali Rebuya. That if it comes to include another type of Chatos, it will probably be a Chatos of a Behema. Why? Shekein Behema. Because after all, it is a Behema, so it's similar to the Chatos of Nimis. Also, Shechit HaTzofen. You both have to shecht it, and both have to be done in Tzofen. The Kabbalah Kele. They both have to have the receiving of the blood in Tzofen. And they both are done with the Kele. The Keren, they both have to be sprinkled by the horn. The Etzban, they both are done with the finger. The Chudan, they both are by the point of the Mizbeach. The Ishim, and both of them have parts that go on the Mizbeach. So since the Chatois HaKatzoinis are similar to the Chatois HaPnimis in these things, while by a Chatois HaOiv these things don't apply, so it's not similar to the Chatois HaPnimis, so therefore it makes more sense to include the Chatois HaKatzoinis rather than to include the Chatois HaOiv. But the Gemara asks, Adrav, on the contrary, Chatos Ha'oiv Havalei L'Rebuya is more svarah to include Chatos Ha'oiv, because Chatos Ha'oiv is in other ways similar to the Chatos HaPnimis more than the Chatos HaChitzoinis. Why? Shekein Hazah Kemoisa, because it has the word Hazah like the Chatos HaPnimis. We said before that how do we know the Parsha is speaking by Chatos HaPnimis? Because it says the Lashon Asher Yizeh Aleh. So it tells us that it's speaking about those Chatos that the Torah uses the word Hazah. Chatos Ha'oiv, the Torah also uses the word Hazah. So therefore, it would make more sense to say that the Torah includes the Chatos HaOiv should be similar in this din to the Chatos HaPnimis. The Gemara answers, Hanoch Nefishin, those are more, which means the similarity between the Chatos HaChitzoinis to the Chatos HaPnimis is much stronger in more ways is it similar than the similarity between Chatos HaOiv and the Chatos HaPnimis, and therefore we say that we include the Chatos HaChitzoinis rather than to include the Chatos HaOiv. Then the Gemara continues, Boy, Ravovin, Ravovin asked the question, and this is concerning another din that is mentioned in the same parasha. In the same parasha, Tzav, Kapitel Vov, Posek Chav Gimel, it says, V'chol chatos ashayuva midoma al oil moed, v'chaper b'koidish, any chatos, that its blood will be brought into the oil moed, to be mechaper inside the koidish, loy say ochel cannot be eaten, the korban cannot be eaten, v'esh the sort of it has to be burned. So the Posek is telling us here, that the blood of a chatos, that belongs outside, not of a chatos apnimis, but a chatos akitsoinis, where you sprinkle the blood in the azora, not inside the heichol. If the blood was taken into the heichol, but of Ovi, that's the question. Chatos ha'oiv shehichnis doma b'tzavoro b'tznim mahu. If you had a chatos ha'oiv, and you brought in the chatos ha'oiv with its blood on its neck, inside the heichol, would it be possible or not? When you collect the blood in the keila and you take the keila with the blood in the heichal, the posik says clearly it makes it possible. But by a chatos ha'oiv, where there is no din that you have to take the blood in the keila, because the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach is done with the oif itself, you hold onto the oif, and that's how you do the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. So what happens if you took the oif with its blood into the heichal, will it make it possible enough? And he explains the question. Do we say Savoro ki klei shoris dami, that its neck is like a klei shoris? When the Torah says that by an oif you don't need a keila, it's not the pshat the Torah says you don't need a keila. The Torah says that the Savoro is like a keila. Here, the neck of the oif itself is the keila. So therefore, if you took in the oif with the blood in it, in the heichol, the pshat is you took in the blood on its klei shoris, on its keila into the heichol. Because we're saying now that the neck is the keila. So according to that, a mitzvah would become possible. Because it's the exact same thing as if you would take in the blood in a keila of a behemah. And there the Torah is possible. Or ideal nor maybe, kitzavar behemah domi, that the neck of the oif is similar to the neck of the behemah. In other words, when the Torah says you don't need a keila by an oif, it's not because the neck is the keila, but it is because the Torah says you don't need a keila by an oif. There's a special din, you don't need a keila. So then, when the blood is on the neck of the oif, it has the same din as if it would be on the neck of a behemah. And there the din is, midoma marachmona v'loi psoro, the Torah says here, the whole chatos ashayuva midoma lo yomayet, and any chatos of its blood will be brought into the yomayet. So the din is, if it's blood but brought in a keila, it's possible. But if the blood was brought in on the behemah, it's kosher. In other words, if the whole behemah was brought into the heichal with the blood on it, and then you took it out, you still could get the blood off it and sprinkle it in the kosher. But just like by a behemah, we say, if it was brought in on the neck of the behemah, the blood is still kosher. The same thing by the bird, if it was brought in on the neck of the bird, it should be kosher. But this is all if we say that the neck of the bird is not a keila. So then, the neck of the bird is the same din as the neck of the behemah, and the same limud that we have, that on the neck of the behemah it doesn't become possible, it also would apply to the neck of the bird and it would be kosher. Gemara says, Toshma, come here, I'll answer your question. We learned, Pirchasov and Nichnasolifnim, this refers to a chatas oif. And it says that if after the malika, the chatas, the bird, struggled and went inside the heichal, the chalter and it came back, sheira is kosher. So from here it seems that the reason it's kosher is because it struggled and went in by itself. And the posik says, v'chol chatos asha yuva midoma el oil moed lechape bakoidesh. That when is it possible, if the chatos, the blood was brought into the oil moed, to be mechape inside. But if it went in by itself, no one brought it in to be mechape. So therefore it is kosher. Ho hichnisahu psula, but if he would have brought it in, the koyim would have brought it in, it would have been possible. Now what's the reason? Because if the Kohen brought it in, it is included in this pasuk where it says that if the blood was brought in, l'chapeh v'kodesh, it's possible. It was brought in on the neck of the bird, nevertheless it's possible. That's what it seems from here. The only reason it's kosher is if it went in by itself. But if he brought it in, it's kosher. So from here we see that the din is that if you bring in the blood and the tzavar of the oif, it is possible. But then he says to him, well, the time is according to you. If you want to learn that pshat, I'll show you that you can't. Concerning Kotche Kadoshin, the Ketone, we also learned there the same similar din. It says there, Pirchasov Yotzel Adorim, if the Korban, which was supposed to be Geshacht Netzofen, and it was Geshacht Netzofen, but after they shechted the Kotche Kadoshin Netzofen, it struggled and went out to the Dorim side of the Mizbeach, the Chosron, it came back, Ksheiret Koshin. So I'm going to say the same thing here. Ho Hoitzio Psulo. So from here we're going to say that only if it struggled and went by itself from the Tzofen side to the Dorim side, it is kosher. But if the Kohen took it from the Tzofen side to the Dorim side, it would be possible, but that you can't say. Because we know there's a din that if it goes out from its boundaries, it becomes possible. But that's only where there are boundaries. In the Azorah, there were no boundaries between the area which was called Tzofen and the area which was called Dorim. So definitely there is no reason for it to be possible if the Kohen took it after the Shechita from Tzofen to Dorim. So concerning this din, we definitely must say that even though the din is mentioned in the case where it struggled and went by itself, it doesn't come to exclude and tell us that if the din, if it would have happened, that he took it from Tzofen to Dorim, it would have been possible. So what is the reason? Why does it mention in such a way? Elo, hi, yotzes elochutz itzachale. The reason he mentioned it like this is not for its own din. It's for another din that's mentioned there. The same place it mentions a din that if the same thing happened and it went out of the Azorah, then the din is that it is possible. So there it has to say that if it struggled and went out, it's possible. To teach us that we might think only if the Kohen took it out of the Azorah, that's when it's possible. But if it struggled and went out of the Azorah by itself, it's kosher. So that's why it says that if it struggled and went out, it is still possible. And because concerning going out of the Azorah, it uses the lotion of struggling and going by itself, so when it says that if it happened inside the Azorah, between Tzofen and Dorim, where it's kosher, it also uses the same lotion. But really, the same din is if the Kohen himself took it from Tzofen to Dorim. But just like concerning that part, we learn that it doesn't come to indicate that only if it happened by itself, it's kosher, while if the Kohen did it, it's possible. Hachaname, so too, when we say this din by the Chata Sa'oiv, it comes to teach the same thing. Yotza Salochutz Itzachalei. The reason it mentions the struggling and going by itself, that then it's kosher, not to tell us that if the Kohen did it, it's possible. Just to tell us that if the same thing happened and went out of the Azorah, then it would be possible. And there it has to say if it struggled went by itself, to teach us the Chiddush, that even though it went by itself, nevertheless it's possible. So therefore, in the case where it's kosher, in the case where it went into the heichal, where it's kosher, it also uses the same expression, that if it struggled and went inside, it is kosher. But it doesn't mean to tell us that if the kohen did it, it's possible. So we have no raya that if the kohen took the oif with its blood into the heichal, that it's possible. But it's important to note here that when we quote the lashon concerning the kosher kadoshim, pirchas v'yotzel adorim v'chaz r'ksheira, that if it struggled and went out into the dorim, from tzofen to dorim, and it came back to the tzofen, it's kosher, the inyan that came back makes no difference. Even if it didn't come back, it's still kosher. The reason he mentions here v'chazra is because in the other case, Rashi says it also mentions v'chazra, and there it's a chidush. In the case where it struggled and went out of the azara, there the din is its puzzle, so there it has to mention v'chazra that it came back. There the chidush is that even if it went out by itself and came back by itself, back into the azara, still it's puzzle. So there it has to say v'chazra. Here where it's kosher, the word v'chazra is not needed, but since in the other part it mentions v'chazra, so here too it mentions v'chazra. And the Gemara continues, Boi Ravavi, Ravavi asked the question, Nishpach ala ritzpo, if the blood spilled from the neck of the oif and fell to the floor, v'osvo, and he gathered it, he picked it up, Mao, what is the din? Can this blood still be sprinkled on a mizbeach? The din by a behema is that if he was mekabel the dam in the kele, he received the blood in the klei shoret, and then it spilled to the floor, the din is that you're allowed to pick it up and sprinkle it then. The question is, if this happened by an oif, is it also kosher or not? And he explains, Atzruchei hu delei apzachei rachman e klei shoret is the pshat. When the Torah says it by a oif, you don't have a klei shoret, the Torah says we don't need a klei shoret. Hilkov, therefore, oif the kosher. He's allowed to gather it in his kosher. All the Torah says you don't need a klei shoret. Not that the klei shoret makes it possible. You don't need a klei shoret. So then, who cares if it fell into a klei shoret? There's nothing wrong with it. So the same thing would be if it fell onto the floor. There's also nothing wrong with it. So therefore, you're allowed to gather it and then use it. A dilma, maybe mifsul possible by rachman a klei shoret. When the Torah said it doesn't need a klei shoret, it's not that it doesn't need, but it's not allowed to have a klei shoret. The hilkach, therefore, oisva you possible. If he gathers it, it's possible, because if it can't go into a klei shoret, it certainly can't go to the floor. You're supposed to do it directly from the neck, and it's not allowed to go anywhere else. If we're going to learn, as the Torah says, we don't need a klei shoret, so it was on the neck, and then who cares if it fell to the floor? Who cares if it fell to a klei shoret? You're allowed to still use it. But if the Torah says that a klei shoret makes it possible, so then, if it fell to the floor, it certainly should be possible and you couldn't use it. Omar Rav Tarav said, Toshma, come here, I'll answer your question. We learned, Yochel Yehei Dam Chatas Oif Toin Kibuz, that we would have thought that the blood of a Chatas Oif would have to be washed. If the blood from a Chatas Oif was sprinkled on a garment, you would have to wash the garment, Talmud Leimer, but the Pasuk says Zois. As we learned before, the Pasuk Zois Toiras HaChatas teaches us that only this and not a Chatas Oif, this din does not apply to a Chatas Oif. Now he says, the Is Al Kadai Tachtif, you would have thought, Mifsul Pasul Beirachmana, and the Torah says, the Klei Shoras makes the Dam Pasul by a Chatas Oif. Typically, so we would have known that this din of washing the garment does not apply to a Chatas Oif, even without the Pasuk Zois. So if Silei Ba'avir Keled already became possible with the air of the Keled, the din is that not only when it actually comes into the Keled we consider it as it came into the Keled, but as soon as it reaches the air of the Keled, it is as if it came into the Keled. When the blood sprinkled from the Chatas Sa'if to the garment, and the garment is a Keled, so when it sprinkled to the garment, before it actually touched the garment, it came into the air of the garment. The moment it came into the air of the garment, it's in the air of a kele. Now the air of a kele is like a kele, so it's as if it came into the kele already. By the time it actually falls on the garment, so it's already blood that entered a kele that's now falling on the garment. Now if we're going to say that by a chata so'ay, the Torah said that if it goes into a kele it's possible, so the moment it's sprinkled and it comes into the air of the garment, automatically that blood becomes possible for zrike, possible for hazor. Why? Because by a chatas oif we're saying now, the blood is not allowed to be in the kele. We say avir kele ke kele. So the moment it comes into the air of the garment, it already becomes possible. By the time it reaches the garment, which blood reached the garment? Blood which is possible to be sprinkled. And we know a din that when do you have to wash the blood from the garment? Only if it's blood that could have been sprinkled. But blood that's possible, you don't have to wash. So we automatically would have known that blood from a chatas oif you don't have to wash. Why do we need a Pasuk Zois to teach us that? This proves that the Torah did not mean to say that a kela by a chata se'if makes the dam potel. The Torah just meant that you don't need a kela by chata se'if. So therefore, even though it came into the air of the kela, the air of the garment which is a kela, nevertheless the dam is still not potel, because a kela does not potel the blood of a chata se'if. So therefore we would think that when it actually goes onto the beged, it's still kosher blood that could still be sprinkled, and therefore you would have to wash that garment from this blood. That's why we have to have Pasuk Zois to teach us that by Chatas Oiv B'chlal, this whole din doesn't apply. So from here, we see L'cha'ura that the Torah did not mean to patel a Klei Shoris by Chatas Oiv. The Torah just meant to say that we don't need it. But Rav Huna Rav Yeshua said, it's no raya from there, because there is still a possibility that it should not become possible, and we should need a pasuk to tell us that chatas leiv doesn't apply. The madbik kele b'tzavara, when you actually connect the kele to its neck. So it's possible that it should spray directly from the neck to the kele without entering the air of the kele before. So if the pasuk would not have said zoi, and the only reason we would have known that you don't have to wash the blood from a chatas leiv is because by the time it comes to the garment, it's already possible. In this case, it wouldn't be possible, because it never went into the air, it went directly from the tzavar to the beged. So it never went into the air of a kele, so it never became posel. So when it touched the kele, it was still kosher. So we would think you would have to wash it. Therefore we have to have a posik zois, that no matter what, you don't have to wash the garment of the blood of the chatasai. So from according to this, we have no raya that the Torah did not mean to pasel it through a klei shoris. Maybe the Torah did mean to pasel it through a klei shoris, and nevertheless we need a posik zois. According to this, we have no raya what would be the din if the blood from the neck of the oif fell to the floor, whether you're allowed to gather it and still use it. Then the Gemara continues, Boy, mine, Levi mi Rebbe, Levi asked a question of Rebbe. Nitas mi beged le beged mahu, what is the din if the blood sprayed from one beged to the other? And now we're going back to the case of a chatos behema, where the din is that if the blood sprayed on a beged, you have to wash the beged. His question is, if it sprayed from the first beged to the second beged, must you wash the second beged also? And the reason for his question is, do we say mi beged kama already from the first beged itchile lekibus, pushed away for kibus? We know, as we said before, that only blood that was fit to be sprayed, if that falls on a garment, then you have to wash it. Now, since the blood fell on the first beged, and automatically the din right away was that you have to wash it, the mele, that blood at that point is already not fit to be sprayed on the mizbeach. So now when it fell from there to the second beged, we're looking at it as if blood that's unfit to be sprayed fell on the second beged. And even though we said before that blood that fell to the floor, you're allowed to pick it up and still spray it, nevertheless, the blood that fell on the beged you can't spray, because blood that fell to the floor, there is no din that you have to wash it. So all you do is you pick it up from the floor and now you spritz it. But blood that fell on the first beged, since there is a halacha that now that beged must be washed, so we look at it as if this blood already cannot be sprayed, because there is a halacha that you must wash it. It was pushed away from being used, pushed away from being able to be sprayed to the din of being washed. So the mele, since it has to be washed, it's not fit to be sprayed. When that fell on the second beged, so we look at it that what blood fell on the second beged? Blood that's unfit to be sprayed on the mizbeach, and therefore you would not have to wash the second beged. Ideal more, maybe, loy not, maybe, even when it fell on the second beged, you still must wash it. Omar Leisei said to him, Zu Shailo, this is a very good question, but I have an answer to this question. The answer is, Ton Kibbutz, you do have to wash it. And the reason is, Mimonisha, whichever way you're going to look at it, you will have to wash it. Because, E Oitzvoy Vekosher, if you're going to say it's similar to the din, and if it fell to the floor, you're allowed to gather it and it's kosher, or kosher, so it's kosher. In other words, you might say that even though it fell to the garment, nevertheless, you still could use that blood to spray. Not like we said before, that as soon as it fell to the garment, so now since you have to wash it, it cannot be used to spray on the mizbeach. Maybe not. Maybe the pshat is that even though it fell to the garment, and the din is you must wash it, but as long as you didn't wash it, and if you're able to get the blood out, you're allowed to still use it to spray. So he's saying, if this would be the din, that you're allowed to gather it from the garment, and still use it, then hakosher. Then there is no problem, and it's certainly kosher. Then the blood that fell from the first garment to the second garment was kosher of blood, blood that was fit to be sprayed on the mizbeach. So certainly you would have to wash the second beged. But even if you're going to want to say, like you said before, the svara, that if you would gather it from the first beged, it would be possible, and therefore by the time it came to the second beged, we look at it as if blood that was not fit to be sprayed on the Mizbeach fell to the Beged, and therefore you should not wash it. Still, he says, I hold you should wash it. Because I know Kereb Akiva or Kereb Yankit spiritually. I hold like Kereb Akiva, like Kereb Yankit. So he says, Hoy Soloi Shafa Koyshev and Nifsolo. And if the blood had a time when it was fit to be sprayed and later became puzzled, the Moton Kibus, the blood has to be washed out. It's not like our Mishnah said, that if blood that was puzzled to be sprayed fell on a garment, you don't have to wash it. So it makes no difference whether this blood was puzzled from the beginning or the blood had a Shafa Kosher. At one time it was kosher, but then it became puzzled. In both cases, it doesn't have to be washed out. Rebbe says that I hold like Rebbe Akiva, like a Yankis, that argue, that say that when do we say that if the blood was puzzled, then you don't have to wash it? That's only if it never had a Shafa Kosher. It was never fit. But if it had a Shafa Kosher, then you do have to wash it even if it's puzzled now. According to that, in this case, there is no question. And even if we're going to say that the blood that came on the first garment became puzzled, you cannot use it anymore for Hazor. Nevertheless, if that came on the second garment, you have to wash the second garment also. Because the whole reason we thought you shouldn't is because we look at it as if blood that's puzzled fell on the second garment. That is true, the blood is puzzled. But this blood was once kosher. And he holds that if the blood was once kosher, even though now it's puzzled, nevertheless, you have to wash the garment. And therefore, he paskin that if it came from the first beged to the second beged, you must wash the second beged also. Concerning what we learn in the Mishnah as an example for the dam being puzzled in the case where it did have a shata kosher. So the Mishnah said, for example, shalona, if it stayed overnight, or v'shenitma, or if the blood became tamei, or v'sheyotzes, if it went out of its proper place. So Tosfos asked the kasha, in the case of nitma, in the case where the blood became tamei, why is the din that if the blood fell on the garment, you don't have to wash the garment? And the reason is, we said, because it's puzzle. But l'chaura, it should not be puzzle. Because mi d'oraisa, the din is that if the blood became tamei, you're still allowed to sprinkle it l'chatchila. As the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Pei Amud Beis, dam shenitma v'zorkei, if dam became tamei and you sprinkled it b'shoigig unintentionally, hurtza, it is mechapes, which means that midaraisa lechatchila you're allowed to go sprinkle it. So since you're allowed to sprinkle it, it's not really possible. So why is the din that if this dam fell on a beged, so then the beged does not have to be washed because we say that dam possible fell on a dam that is not fit to be sprinkled, when really this dam is fit to be sprinkled? Tosfos answers that we must say that we're talking in a case where there is no tzitz. The tzitz broke. Because this din, that if the dam was tamei and it was sprinkled, it is still mechaper, that is only because the tzitz is meratzeh. The Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz is meratzeh, forgives for that aveda of sprinkling dam that is tamei. But if there is no tzitz, for instance, if the tzitz broke, so then it is not meratzeh. So then you are not allowed to sprinkle the dam. So the case here when it says that if it fell on a beged, the dam that is tamei is talking in a case where there is no tzitz. Or Tosfos says, even if there is a tzitz, but if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz on his head, because there is a mandomer in Yumad of Zayin Amud Beis, that only if the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz on his head during that time, it is meratzeh, for whatever it is meratzeh. But if it's not on his head, then it is not meratzeh. So we must be talking here in a case where it is not on his head. The reason Tosfos asked the kasha by stressing the point that midaraisa you're allowed to sprinkle it l'chatchila, the Chura Tosfos could have asked the kasha much simpler. Why mention this that l'chatchila you're allowed to sprinkle it midaraisa? Even not l'chatchila. The way the lashon is that if you sprinkled it, it is meratzeh, which means that b'di'evit it's good. So Tosfos could have asked the kasha, since b'di'evit, if you sprinkle dam that is tamei, it's good, so how can we consider this dam possible in order to say that the beged does not need kibbutz? Why does Tosfos have to stress that the reason he's asking the question is because since the din is you're allowed to sprinkle it l'chatchila midaraisa, that's why there is a question that it should not be considered dam posel and the beged should need kibbutz. L'chura Tosfos could have asked very simple, since b'di'evit it is merutzeh, so therefore it should not be considered dam posel. But the pshat is poshet, the Tosfos must bring in the point that you're allowed to sprinkle it l'chatchila. Because if we're just going to rely on the fact that b'di'evit the tzitz is merutzeh, so that is only when it was done. But before it's done, it is considered dam posel. So what kind of kasha would Tosfos have had? How could Tosfos ask the kasha that this dam should not be considered dam posel, since if you would have sprinkled it, so then b'di'evit it would have been meratzeh? But l'chatchila you're not allowed to sprinkle it, and therefore it is not considered dam kosher, it is dam posel. So therefore Tosfos has to stress the point that you're allowed to sprinkle it l'chatchila midaraisa because of the tzitz. the din is that you're allowed to sprinkle a little chachila. But mele, even before you sprinkled it, you didn't sprinkle it, it's still considered dam kosher, since it's fit to be sprinkled. And that's why Tosfos asked the kasha, that l'chaura, why is the din that if it fell on a beggar, you shouldn't have to wash it? After all, it's considered dam kosher. And the answer of Tosfos is that the case where the tzitz was broken or the Kohen Gadol was not wearing the tzitz. Concerning the end of the Mishnah, where it gives an example of a case where it did not have a shakla kosher, where the blood was posted from the beginning and never had a time when it was fit, the last example is shekiblu psulin as domo. That if psulin, people who are unfit, receive the blood. And we learned that there is a girse in Rasha, as Tosfos brings, that we have shekiblu psulin vezorko as domo. That psulin received the dam and sprinkled the dam. And Tosfos brings that Rasha says that it doesn't mean that the psulin did both, but it means that or if the psulin received the blood, or if psulin sprinkled the blood. And concerning the question that if it is talking about psulim sprinkling the blood, then why dafke psulim? Even if kshedim sprinkled the blood, you wouldn't have to wash it if it fell on the beged afterwards. Because the din is only if it falls before it is sprinkled, that's when you have to wash the beged, not after it is sprinkled. So what's the pshat that the case is when psulim sprinkled the blood? And Tosfos answered that nevertheless it's a chidush. But some of us want to say that we cannot learn that it means that psulim received the blood or psulim sprinkled the blood. Because if psulim sprinkled the blood, that means that the blood was received by kshedim. And the problem here is that the sprinkling was done by psulim. But how can we say that when the Mishnah is bringing this as an example for dam that became posel not having a shakla kosher, not having a time when it's fit? So the first example where it said that psulim received the blood, so as soon as the blood came from the behemoth, it was received by psulim, so it never had a shakla kosher. It was never fit to be sprinkled. But if we're going to learn, that means aish zarka is dama. That means that the second example is that psulim sprinkled the blood, but it was received by kshedim. That means that it had a time when it was fit to be sprinkled because it was received by kshedim, and then it became posel. So how can the Mishnah bring this in as an example to dam posel which did not have a shasa kosher? And another kasha that the Shita Mikabetz asks, that the Mesichta Mila is mashmer that there's one thing, that it is not two separate things, that kiblu psulim or zorko is dama, but there are two things. So therefore, the Shita Mikabetz says that the pshat is that they're one thing. And it means here, kiblu psulim, the zorko psulim, that the psulim received it and psulim sprinkled it. But the Shita Mikabetz asks the kasha, from that it comes out, that what would be if kiblu kshedim would have received it, and the kshedim would have sprinkled it, then you would have to wash the beged, because that's what he's saying. Kiblu psulim, vizorka psulim, and then it fell on the beged, you don't have to wash it. But if it would have been kiblu kshedim, vizorka kshedim, you would have to wash it. But that is not true, because we learn out from the pasuk Asher Yizeh that it comes to exclude, if it was sprinkled already, that you only have to wash it if it was not sprinkled yet. And he answers that Bamez the pshat is that if kiblu kshedim, vizorka kshedim, the din is also that you don't have to wash it. For the reason, as we said, because it says Asher Yizeh. Then the question is, so why does the Mishnah mention Shekiblu Psulin Vezorku Psulin? Which comes to tell us that only in this case you don't have to wash it. But if it would have been Kiblu Kshedim Vezorku Kshedim, is Mashme, that you would have to wash it, which is against the deen. So he says that the reason the Mishnah mentions Zorku Psulin, because if it would just be Kiblu Psulin, there is still a possibility for Dam of this Korban, when it falls on the beggar, you should have to wash it. Hagam Kiblu Psulin. For instance, if a apostle received the blood, but there is still some blood left in the tzavar, in the neck of the behemoth. So then a kosher could come and take the other blood that's left over, and that could be fit for sprinkling. So the fact that kiblu psulin itself doesn't make it that all the blood of this behemoth will not be mechayev to wash the clothes. But if kiblu psulin and zorku psulin, the after the psulin were zedek, so then the rest of the blood is considered shirayim of posel the blood, and you couldn't take the other blood, even if it's left over in the neck, to sprinkle it. So then, in the case where kiblu psulin, the zorku psulin, then there is never a possibility that the beged should need kibus after the dam was sprinkled on it. But had the Mishnah just mentioned kiblu psulin and say that in this case it doesn't need kibus, it wouldn't be 100%, because there is still a possibility that even in the case where kiblu psulin, that you should have to wash that dam. In the case where the other dam that was left in the neck was taken by a kosher, so that dam is still fit to be sprayed on the mizbeach, and that dam would need kibus. So therefore he mentions a case where there is no possibility for this dam to need kibus, and that is if kiblu psulin and zorku psulin. concerning what the Gemara said later on, that we'd rather be marbe chatois apnimius than chatasois, because chatois apnimius are more similar to the chatas hanecheles than the chatasois. And the similarity is, as the Gemara said, that they're both behemoths, both need shchita b'tzofen, both need kabbalah in a kele, and the kabbalah has to be in tzofen. They both have to be done by the keren, by the horn. They both have to have the etzba. They both have to be done by the chud. They have to be done by the point, by the actual corner, and they both are put on the mizbeach. Parts of it are put on the mizbeach. So among these things are mentioned two things, keren and chudo. It has to be done by the horn, and it has to be done by the chud, by the point. The Tosfos asks the kasha, we're talking here about chumras, different chumras that we find in the chatois hapnimis, which are similar to the chatos hanecheles. So how can we mention both keren and chuda? Because we find early in the Gemara and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that this is a machloikas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon. One holds you have to have keren and not chuda, and the other ones you have to have chuda and not keren. And here we mention the both together as if both of them are there together. And Tosfos answers the Gemara doesn't mean that. The Gemara mentions both because according to one you have the chumra of keren, according to one you have the chumra of chuda, and that's actually what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean both together. The Gemara mentions them both, but one according to one, and the other one according to the other one.